This is the operator. The recording has started here as well.
Great, thank you. All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures CDP Subgroup C call held on Thursday, the 17th of January, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, would you please let yourself be known now? And hearing no names, I just want to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Michael Fleming. You may begin, Michael.
Thank you very much, and everyone, welcome to another episode of Subgroup C on this wonderful, beautiful Friday morning for myself. Thursday evening for others, and we welcome you and the wonderful time. We have come a long way in our journey of going through the wonders and adventures of Subgroup C material, but we are now starting to reach the end of our journey. We are beginning on the last bits of material that we have. We have about four more topics to go, and yet these topics are rather small, but nonetheless very important to discuss. So let's begin, shall we? If you are joining me on the Google Doc, then we are on 2.10.2, Register on Uncodified Discrimination / Registry Registrar Standardization tab, or if you are joining me on the slides here, which I do not see coming up, then we are not on this slide. Looks like it's being loaded. We are starting right at the top here, so feel free to follow along and join us as we go through this. Now, I will be looking using the Google Doc, and I will not be looking at the screen directly, so I will stop at appropriate times, and then I will allow for input of certain material. So let us begin the journey. Starting from the top, and our first question, 2.10.2.C.1, recommendation 19 should be revised to be made current with the current environment. Registries must use only ICANN-accredited registrars in registering domains and may not discriminate among such accredited registrars unless an exemption to the Registry Code of Conduct is granted. Excuse me. So supporting and agreeing with this recommendation is the BRG, NewSTAR, and the Registry Stakeholder Group. Not a whole lot of specific developments in this material that is provided, so we shall take it as is. Does anyone feel that we need to review any of the comments here that have been posted? Christine, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. This is Christine for the transcript. I just wanted to highlight that the Registry Stakeholder Group here has a new idea, which should be flagged in blue, so the suggestion about the registries have the flexibility to register domains under certain circumstances. I do note that this also falls in line with the supplemental report that came out, so those five additional topics, this is sort of captured in that, but there is a new idea here that I just didn't want it to get lost. Thank you.
Michael, you're muted.
Yes. Thank you very much. I've actually not unmuted myself yet or started speaking. I was just analyzing the comment. Thank you very much, Christine. Let us take that as a new idea. And apologies if I'm a little bit slow to respond. It's rather here, and there is no coffee stimulating my mind at this point. Now I'm starting to see why that might have been an important beverage to drink. But thank you very much, and I can definitely see where we need to highlight that, and that has been done. So and the appropriate adjustment has been made per Christine's suggestion. Thank you very much. Moving on to 2.10.2.E.1 then. In response to feedback from Community Comment 2, WorkTrack 2 members have suggested that dot brand registries, as really as any registry operator granted an exemption from the Code of Conduct, as set forth in Specification 9 of the Registry Agreement, should not only be able to limit the number of registrars that they have to use, but should also have the ability to receive a complete exemption from using any ICANN-accredited registrars at all in the operation of their TLD, by making them equally exempt from Section 2.9 of the Registry Agreement. In connection with the above proposal, the WorkTrack is soliciting feedback on the following. So then, we have a comment from Fairwind Partners that see below for relevant subcomments. The sub-questions to this discussion topic, or solicitation for more feedback, seem to put it in the era of agreement, so we will reference that as is below and just leave this alone for now. And, goodness gracious, excuse me, the registry stakeholder group explains the diversity of views within the registry stakeholder group on the issue of vertical integration. It seems that there are some who have been previously active ICANN policy development, such as brand owners, let's perhaps just take the comment as full, but with the new GTLD program, the registry stakeholder group expanded with the entry of new registry operators. Their new members include many that are active in PDPs, such as brand owners, and others who previously participated in different capacities. There is not one single view on the question of vertical integration of registries and registrars. Some members favor vertical integration and would support removal of further restrictions, and others have favored the retention of those restrictions. So no specific feedback in regards to this. Excuse me. The question 2.10.2.E.1.1, should a complete exemption be available to these registries? Please explain. The BRG supports a complete exemption. Fairwind supports this. The registry stakeholder group supports this. And noting that they are a group of very diversified opinions, they support this. The Google also supports this, and the registrar stakeholder group, while this is marked as divergence, they do agree with this if it follows certain circumstances or certain conditions where DNS is completely controlled by said brand, as well as the registrant, tech, and admin and billing contact matching the brand. So that is indeed important information. That is indeed important to consider in their response. Do we need to discuss any of these comments in their current nature? Steve has clarified something specifically in the draft staff assessment that we were thinking of. There's sort of an introduction to the more specific registry comments below. So there has not been current specific assessment given to those. Thank you, Steve. That does help while we go through and consider these. So I do not see any specific feedback, so we will take that as is. Next section is 2.10.2.E.1.2. If complete exemptions are granted, are there any obligations that should be imposed on .brand registries to ensure that any obligations or registrant protections normally found in registrar accreditation agreements that should be included in .brand registry agreements if they elect to not use any ICANN accredited registrars? So we have agreement from Mark Monitor. Believes the one-year domain limit is sufficient, and it's more or less in agreement. The registrar stakeholder group is agreeing with this generally, yes. Of course, noting their previous related comment that should not allow third parties to manage DNS at any level. And ICANN must be aggressive in its management of TLDs to ensure that TLDs can be run as officially closed. So a new idea in some aspects. The BRG agrees with this. Yes. Fairwind does not support additional requirements. And the Registry Stakeholder Group does not believe that any further additional obligations are required. So more or less agreement throughout the mix here, with a little bit of spice on conditions from the registrar stakeholder group. Do we have anyone that wants to relate to this? Oh, Christine, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
I think this is Christine. I'm not entirely sure of the best way that we would handle this, but looking at the comments by Mark Monitor and the registrars, specifically Mark Monitor, I'm not entirely sure that we're speaking apples to apples here. So I believe 2.10.2.E.U. is about registry operators, .brand registry operators, that register all domain names to themselves forever and ever without using a registrar. I don't believe there's anything in this recommendation or this whatever this is that limits the number of domain names to 100. The 100 domain names that a registry can self-allocate is available to all registry operators already, GTLDs, you know, whatever the category. So I think there's a little misunderstanding here, so I wonder if we need to go back to them and get some clarity, because we're not talking about the 100 they already get. We're talking about if they want to have 5,000 domain names registered to their .brand, they get them registered to themselves. And so I think there's some confusion there. Specifically, also similarly in the registrar comment, and this same comment applies to the category above as well. They've said, assuming the brand owner is registrant, admin, tech, and billing, but that doesn't necessarily jive with what's currently existing in the policy, which is with brand owners and their licensees. And sometimes people lump that together, and that's fine, but I think we should go back and make sure that the registrars aren't saying brands only, and then they're generally keeping the brands and their licensees in one big lump. I just think it's unclear based on the way that their comments are worded, and I would hate to get it wrong. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. I can see that is very helpful, and I do appreciate that. I can see where there might be a bit of misunderstanding for how this question would perhaps cause certain changes to be applied in the registry agreement or the new GTLD program due to its simplicity in not covering in detail specifically what those changes might occur, and that is why there's likely a misunderstanding on behalf of well, not necessarily misunderstanding, but that is why Mark Monitor and the registrar stick with the group take into account on certain aspects excuse me, that made they what is in their comments, especially in Mark Monitor's side. There's already the 100 domain limit aspect. But indeed, this question would probably explore the aspect as whether or not we need to increase those questions, but that is definitely a discussion to be held at the full working group level. And I feel that it would be beneficial to seek clarity on some aspects if others feel necessary for perhaps Mark Monitor, if they fully understand the relevance of this. The registrar's take with the group, I think it might be beneficial to reach out perhaps, but I do feel that they understand the nature of the question, but perhaps not the nature of how a dot brand operates in full. Does anyone else feel that we need to take this, may ask it before we take it to the plenary? And Cheryl, you have, think that it would be beneficial to do so. And Christine, I agree with you as well. I hear a microphone, and if you'd like to jump in, please feel free, whoever.
It was me, Michael. I was just going to say, I wanted to be clear. I think it's worthwhile asking them to clarify their answers. I'm not doubting that they understand the question. I just think it would be nice if we had some embellishment and certainty before we take it to one particular type or classification of response or another. That's all. Thanks.
Indeed, I do agree with that as well. So it does seem to be beneficial that we do see clarification, that they fully understand the question, while, of course, the detail or the effects of making this change in the registry, not fully exploring the question, perhaps whether or not they fully understand the question and how it is applied to dot brands. Indeed, let's make that an action item. Alrighty then, let's take that, and staff is putting it as an action item, so we'd greatly appreciate it. We'll move on that before our next meeting, hopefully. further comments we've already covered those further comments, so if we feel comfortable, we can move on to the next question. We are now on line 22, 2.10.E.1.3. If you're joining us on the Google Docs, or the document shared in Adobe, we're on page 3. Soon to be on page 4. So, work track members have suggested that input from the registrar stakeholder group, or as well as the brand registry group on this topic, would benefit further deliberations and any final recommendations. The work track makes note that feedback from all parties will be fully considered and contribute to further developments. The BRG's response is that they will be happy to contribute further if required. Dot brand applicants were reluctant to voice their views in public prior to the 2012 round. And these same hurdles also apply for future applicants. That is why the BRG is able to represent views of its members, both existing dot brand members and future applicants, to help guide such changes to the subsequent procedures, for subsequent procedures, and the registrar stakeholder group quotes their above material. And the next question, 2.10.2.E.2, are there any additional situations where exemptions to the Code of Conduct should be available? And we have a response from the Registrar Stakeholder Group on this. It's kind of a new idea. And their response is no. So, do we feel that we need to discuss either of those questions specifically? Responses, I presume, I mean, in regards to question 1.3 and 8.2, not a whole lot to work with specifically there, since there's not much contribution, but I feel that we can take it as is without discussing the complexity of their question and replies. We are now on our final question for this evening, which we are now on page 4, Cheryl. Very enthusiastic. I do appreciate it. And we are on question 2.10.2.E.3. I might have put an extra point in there, but I hope you can follow along in the text. There are provisions in the Registrar Stakeholder Group Charter that some feel disfavor those who have been granted exemptions to the Code of Conduct. In the preliminary question above, would it be better to rephrase it as, unless the Registry Code of Conduct does not apply, rather than unless an exemption to the Registry Code of Conduct is granted? Now, the response from the Registry Stakeholder Group is that, these changes have been recently made to the Registrar Stakeholder Group Charter. In fact, I believe it's in public comment now, and that exemptions should be requested, evaluated, and allowed, denied through community process and with complete transparency. Now, noting that this, I'm not sure if it's the exact change, this relevant change that's in public comment right now, but there seems to be opportunity to seek further clarification on this at a time, at an important time. Do we need further clarification? And do we feel that this comment is sufficient to answer the question that has been put forth? Would anyone like to help analyze that aspect? Hearing none, I will take this up. Christine, you're typing. Thank you so much. Oh, Gigi Levine, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yes, I would disagree and say that the existing language, unless an exemption to the Registry Code of Conduct is granted, is more explicit, whereas to say the Registry Code of Conduct does not apply would refer, sounds like it could be more subjective, but that's not really the information you were looking for, is it? Was that the kind
Thank
of interpretation
you, Gigi.
You were looking for?
I'm not sure. Too early for me to get into debate about the material specifically, but whether or not their reply is sufficient to basically they're saying that their charter has been changed and that this specific question is perhaps no longer relevant to this aspect since the changes have been made.
Okay.
I think that's what
all
we're analyzing
right, I apologize.
Right now. No, not at all. I understand. It's been a rough day for probably a lot of us. It's been a long day. Christine says, I'm not super clear either, and I have no idea why we do develop policy making the Registrar Stakeholder Group's charter make more sense. Steve? Steve is probably having, is probably providing more sufficient advice on this, but I think that, well, we've given enough time to this one question, perhaps we should leave it as is, and let's move on now that we have no further specific feedback. Now then, we do have some other comments here that should be brought up as they do pertain to this lipid. And both of our comments are from Christopher Wilkinson, who in his first comment felt that general reservation about neutrality of registrars among registries under the current conditions of vertical integration, and then highlights concerns about competition and diversity, and believes that registry-registrar cross-ownership contributes to this issue. And his concerns highlight that I have a hard time making this into shorter words, putting it to my own words, so I'll just read it as is, that it would appear that the degree of concentration that was taking place in the DNS market was facilitated by the flawed decision in 2010 to replace favoring vertical integration between new independent registries with a policy favoring cross-ownership between registrars and registries. The economic consequences of that decision may be quite far-reaching and should be reconsidered by ICANN. Small little I there, but his comment, Christine, is indeed a difficult to interpret specifically, since this was made during general comment and not specifically in highlight to a certain question. And it's a tissue box here somewhere. And that it is difficult to say whether or not where it's coming from here. So the aspect of cross-ownership was a discussion that we had originally in Retract 2. And I could say that our first premise was that nothing, registry-registrar crossovership, the vertical integration aspect, would not be reversed. We were not discussing that in any way, shape, or form. We were looking at the aspect of how it is come to fruit, or come to light during the current round, and whether or not further changes should be made to help assist that. Now, Christopher's comment does look specifically at reversing it, so I think that we can just take his comment as is and the relevant aspect of the conversation that was probably at the time. Unless others feel that we should seek further clarification. I don't feel that we need to do that specifically, as I believe that the full working group will be able to understand at that time while taking his comment into nature, and I believe Christopher will probably be there to provide any more specific feedback that would be necessary at the time. Seeing if there's anyone that wants to offer any additional input on these comments and how we see them at the current time. So, Justin, as you put in the chat, I'm responding to that, saying that there's probably not the necessity to ask Christopher to clarify his comment, but perhaps there are others that disagree with me. I see no responses, so that is Registrar Non-Discrimination, Registry, Registrar Standardization. Let's move on to the next category. And just at 30 minutes, that's a good stopping point for that one. We are now on Registry System Testing, the next tab. And the... excuse me. The relevant page in the Adobe chat, sorry, the Adobe, has been changed as well. So, first question, 2.11.1.C.1. Registry system testing should be split between overall registry service provider matters and specific application TLD testing. Agreement from the BRG and ASP in this. Further comments are explored in additional questions. Now that, thank you for joining us, Christine. I hope you can be back with us shortly as well. 2.11.1.C.2. So remove a better part or all self-certification assessments. So there's support to moving self-certification assessments. ICANN.org supports this as well and offers a new idea that it should be noted that some self-certifications, such as those related to load testing, should be retained as operational testing of load with yes structure and not favorable, and it is important to do load testing to ensure that the infrastructure can handle expected traffic. Registry Stakeholder Group also supports this aspect, not necessarily ICANN's comment of a new idea, but removing the self-certification. But removal, so there's a bit of a mixed opinion, actually, from the sounds of it, that there's one registry stakeholder group suggests that the proposal should be qualitated or stipulated to removal of the assessment for that this should apply to established registry operators who exhibit the exact same business model roles across the TLD. But there's opposition to this viewpoint within our registry stakeholder group as well. And at least one registry stakeholder group agreed with this proposal as well. So, yes, Steve has highlighted there is no single registry stakeholder group position. So it's a common theme for the registry stakeholder group comments that there's always seems to be opposing view within their organization, but agreement as well. So it's a very colorful comment that we will have on each of these. So it's difficult. In some terms, it would be natural to seek clarification for each comment in some aspects, but seeing as that they have already gone through the process of answering this, I'm not sure if doing the clarification would get us any more, give a single position on this. So perhaps taking it as is would be best as it is discussed in the full working group. So let's just take that, those replies as is. There seems to be no specific material request to discuss the material. Seeing where we are on 2.11.1.C.3, line 9. Rely on service-level agreement monitoring for most, if not all, overall registry service provider testing. The brand registry group agrees with this. The registry stakeholder group, again, mixed. One registry stakeholder member agrees with moving with this. Another one believes the question should be clarified and explained if this proposes a removal of PDT, pre-delegation testing. And one member said if that is the case, that there are concerns as whether or not that asylum monitoring is not extensive. And then another offered a new idea that since RSV pre-accreditation program is not currently approved, reference should be made to registry operators and not RSPs. And another one opposes this view. Another one opposes this view since pre-approval seems to be the meaning of the working group. But it reckons that if it's not approved, this approval proposal should be changed to the next available aggregation level, which is registry service provider for a number of TLDs in a single subsequent procedure. So a very complicated response in that, and I see no specific chats or hands raised in regards to that, but we can always come back to it at the end of the section. ICANN.org clarifies that our recommendation was that some tests could be removed from the registry system testing in favor of ongoing monitoring of TLD operations against a broader set of existing contractual technical requirements. Their concerns highlight that ongoing monitoring to predict potential performance issues and in order to remove some tests from PDP and to improve the chances of proper operation of TLDs, ICANN recommends relying on ongoing monitoring of TLD operations against existing contractual requirements. ICANN already is planning to improve its active monitoring capabilities to cover as much as possible. Consideration should also be given as to whether repeated breaches should result in stricter penalties for registry operators or RSPs. That was the initial recommendation, I believe, but ICANN.org would like to clarify that the recommendation was that some tests could be removed. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for being here, Mola. And then the SAC supports divergence in this. So there's support for discovering major failures before delegation of TLD being in operation. The TLD is in operation. So in general, it is preferable to discover major failures before delegation instead of after the TLD is in operation. So indeed, divergence noted. Now, do we feel that we need to discuss any of these comments for further clarity? I see none. If Christine does come back before we're done, perhaps it may be helpful. Perhaps she would like to jump in on some of the registry stakeholder group comments. But I will leave that option for when she makes her return. Next question, line 14, 2.11.1.C.4. Limit internationalized domain name, IDN, testing to specific TLD policies and do not perform an IDN table review and registry system testing. So there's support from this from BRG, Friend Registries Group, Blue Star, and the Registry Stakeholder Group. However, there are concerns that in practice, the PDT, the pre-delegation testing execution related to IDNs actually exceeded the stated boundaries, and that the testing team both expanded the scope and inserted judgment into the expected results. And then ICANN.org, their recommendation was removing IDN table review if the ministry is using pre-vetted tables that have been pre-vetted by the community. Indeed, and then they highlight their previous comment in regards to this that was provided. Do we feel that we need to discuss any of those responses in further detail, or can we take them as is before we continue? I don't see anyone raising their hand, so we will take them as they are and send them off. It's the full working group to consider and wait and responses. So we are now on line 19, question 2.11.1.C.5. Include additional operational tests to assess readiness for domain name system security extensions, DNSSEC, contingencies, e-rollover, zone resite. What that includes. Now, the registry stakeholder group, they explain different views, and I feel that we can only take this if we did full. Excuse me. So at least one registry stakeholder group member believes that this approach is inconsistent. Rollovers and PDT testing will not reflect the realities of operation. That is, it will be an effort that may not be predictive. Since DNS infrastructure is frequently shared, this may introduce security and stability risks due to side effects to existing TLDs that could emerge through execution errors. The test readiness for DNSSEC, at a minimum, an RSP, should be able to demonstrate the ability to transition the assigned zone of a TLD onto their system and transition the assigned zone of a TLD off of the system. During the registry transition process, the act of rolling a assigned zone is intricate and should be considered a key part of registry testing. And then, excuse me, this whole paragraph is opposed by at least one other registry stakeholder group member. While those two tests seem to be enough for the time being, for at least one registry stakeholder group, the same members suggest consideration of algorithm rollover exercises in the future when enough experience in this specific maneuver gets established in the operation community. So again, lots to consider in that. I feel that we can send that on up as well to the full working group, unless anyone would like to discuss the material. I do not see anyone raising their hand. And we are now on next question. Excuse me. Wonderful, delicious water. And we are on page 3 and line 21 of the of the Google Doc, 2.11.1.C.6, possible language. Applicants must be able to demonstrate their technical capability to run a registry operation for the purpose that the application sets out, either by submitting it to evaluation at application time or agreeing to use a previously approved technical infrastructure. Could mean in the same procedure or previous procedures if an RSP program exists. Excuse me. So supporting this possible language is the BRG and Newstar. And then the registry stakeholder group explains different views again. One registry stakeholder group suggests that if an applicant is choosing to use a previously approved technical infrastructure, and the applicant should be required to identify that service provider application, and another opposes this, stating that it would serve the interest of registry service providers while leaving approved registry operators to later choose a registry service provider increases competitiveness in that field. Now then, do we need to discuss the material provided? I see no responses, I see no one raising their hand to discuss the material, and so I will move to the last question, which is very long in nature, as well as quite a mixed response as well from the registry stakeholder group. 2.11.E.1, we're on line 25, and the last page of the material provided in, the document in Adobe. ICANN's Technical Services Group provided some recommendations to WorkTrack 4 on what it believed were improvements that could be made to improve its testing procedures to attempt to detect operational issues that its service-level monitoring system hasn't covered with some registry service providers. Although the WordTrack discussed this letter in some detail, the WordTrack has not reached any consensus on whether those recommendations should be accepted. Therefore, we would like feedback from the community on whether any of the recommendations should be adopted by the WordTrack in the final report. More specifically, we seek feedback on recommendation numbers 1, PBT operational tests, 2, monitoring, 3, third-party certifications, 4, audits, 6, ooh, let me skip 5, maybe that was intentional, 6, frequency of tests, 7, removal of testing IDN tables, and 8, consideration of number of TLDs. Some of the other recommendations, including number 4, RSP approval, pre-approval, are discussed in section 2.2.6 and accreditation programs, RSP pre-approval. Excuse me. Now then, again, we have quite a diverse, that was the word I was looking for, diverse response from the registry stakeholders group. There is no single position they have. So at least one of their members is in agreement with the recommendations already included in the initial form and disagrees with all recommendations from ICANN Technical Services that were not included in the initial report. That itself is opposed by one other registered stakeholder group member. Another one had different views on each of the recommendations listed below. They supported PDT, but don't expand the scope. They had concerns in the monitoring aspect where it's not currently being enforced. Third-party certifications, they're not supportive of those. It's been pretty difficult to implement with unclear benefits. Audits, and saying that there are situations where an audit may be necessary, that option should be available, but they should be not done so to be arbitrary or disruptive. Monitored to ensure an objective outcome. And now they are in agreement with the consideration of the number of TLDs. With a longer response that it should not also just consider the number of TLDs, but the expected quantity of registrations that will be supported by the registry platform. So the overall numbers of the domain, the second level domains versus the number of TLDs, seems to be of more importance in that aspect. And views in this paragraph are opposed by at least one other registry stakeholder group member. So again, a diverse response indeed. Jeff highlights that he would like to get ICANN's org's response on this specific question, which highlights a number of recommendations. Perhaps we can reach out to them specifically for further clarifications if necessary. Does anyone feel the same? Steve is typing. Jeff is typing. We need, so Jeff adds that we need to have some further guidance on this since registrars can't agree. Steve states that a number of the recommendations in this are sourced from a paper from ICANN Technical Services. Perhaps that's why they didn't respond. We could definitely reach out to them if necessary. I don't see anyone else jumping into this, but since this seems to be a... so Jeff is responding. I think we can maybe take this offline for further additional feedback, since seems to be somewhat of a two-way conversation. yes. It seems that we might have a conversation on the leadership level here, and we'll provide any further feedback in regards to how we should consider this, reaching out to ICANN further after we've done so. We'll keep the full subgroup in the loop, of course. So we are 9 minutes from the top of the hour. A quick little observation of our next two sections, TLD rollout and contractual compliance, will definitely tell you that we should likely only have one more meeting covering this material. Now, I am comfortable to say that y'all have been great for sticking with us this long, and we really appreciate your support and helping us with this. And perhaps it might be best that we start thinking about what do we do after going through these comments. Now, I think that's a topic that can be explored next week as we take this, we'll not take the full amount of time required for that meeting to analyze these comments. And perhaps we can have a bit of a conversation at the leadership level to provide some suggestions as well. A mini vacation seems to be in the works for us, but probably not for those who are heading off to further meetings that will be held during the, the third week of January coming up here. So good luck and safe flights to those of you that will be attending such meetings. And we will come back after that on the 31st of January at 15 UTC for an additional 60 minutes. Now, thank you very much for being with us today. I do note that we have time for plenty of AOB if necessary. Does anyone like to share a funny joke that they might have discovered this week? I had a really good one to share. At the question
was... Oh, please,
was,
no. Please, no. 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 Go and take a nap, Michael.
Oh, but it's a good one. It's a good one. Why does Peter Pan never stop flying? It's because he never lands. Okay, I'll let you all have a good laugh at that, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Michael. Thank you, Cheryl. And everyone, enjoy the rest of your day or night. This meeting's adjourned.